Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The selected lesson for our consideration this evening is that gospel lesson, read only moments ago from the book of Mark, the account of the baptism of our Savior, Jesus. Dear Christian friends, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. Those words are going to be sung in our final hymn this evening. I have to admit, it is one of my favorites that came out to us as that hymnal supplement was made available to all of us by our synod. The words are frankly amazing. As the hymn writer wrote all of them down, all of these verses just speak so very boldly and frankly to our greatest enemies, sin, Satan, death itself. It stands before every one of them and announces that because we are baptized into Christ, they can no longer touch us. They can't do anything. It's that connection to Christ through our baptism that then takes center stage this evening. As we see Jesus standing in the Jordan, we can't help but think about our own baptisms and the significance all of it has for us. Kind of interesting, though. As our lesson opens, it's not Jesus that we see. Instead, it's John the Baptist crying out on the banks of the Jordan River. He is one of my all-time favorites from the Word of God. It's a phrase that John is allowed to speak by his God for all of us that I think so beautifully sums up the job of a pastor for us. He says, "He," and that's Jesus, "must increase, and I must decrease." While those words are from the book of John, Mark does record for us a very similar sentiment as John the Baptist speaks on the banks of the Jordan River. He tells us that his message is this: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Christian humility always understands that Jesus is greater and that we are lesser, and for good reason. Consider the words of verse 4 in our lesson. It tells us John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And that's very needed for the people of God. It's King David who said it so very nicely in one of the verses that we read at the beginning of our service from Psalm 51 when he announced, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Our own baptismal rite from the hymnals that are not currently sitting in our pews any longer announces the truth very well. All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature and are without true fear of God and true faith in God, and are condemned to eternal death. In short, we need and have regular need of this repentance that John was preaching and baptizing people into. It's good for us to see our sinfulness as it sits before us. And I know, in our world today, it is so very easy for us to just explain all of the sin away, isn't it? Well, my sin's not as bad as that guy over there. I haven't done things like that. Well, we live in a modern world now, right? I mean, a lot of that stuff in the Bible, that's probably not even sin in God's eyes anymore, I don't think. Well, surely God understands when I did that. I really just didn't have any other choice in the matter. But the reality still stands. I'm not the one who gets to change God's will and his way. It belongs to him. And when he speaks, it is absolutely final. Because of my sin, because of what I have done, the words of John really need to be my own. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not even worthy to stoop down and untie. May each one of us make that confession of John the Baptist our confession. Christ is greater. I am lesser. You know what, Christians? We have. We started out our service that way, in fact. Every time we confess our sins, it's not just so that we can be bummed out by the fact that we are bad people. It's preparatory. As we admit our sinfulness, as we stand before our holy God, we have that Christian humility that understands that we are nothing, deserve nothing from him, but that God, in his amazing love, has given us everything. And that really takes us to the second part of our lesson today. And no longer the words of John, but the words of the Father that we hear booming from the sky as he speaks of his Son. He says, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Says it all, doesn't it? While I am sinful, Jesus is sinless. He is able to do what no one else in this world has ever done. He lives perfectly. He provides the holy life that God demanded, and he doesn't do it to prove us wrong, that we should be able to do it too. He does it for us and in our place, that his righteousness might be counted as our own and given to us. That baptismal rite that we quoted before, it continues. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. But Satan will tell us that there is another issue at work here. That of faith. Do you really have it? Do you have enough of it? Can you prove it? All of those answers should be found in God's holy word. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, the writer of the Hebrews tells us. Jesus himself says, "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Paul tells the Romans, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And so Martin Luther summarizes all of it so very beautifully in his explanation to the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified, and kept me in the one true faith. And so while I cannot do it on my own, God, once again, does it all. Though I cannot choose him, he chooses me. Not because of my work or what I have done, but because of this Son whose righteousness is my own, because of what my Savior has done for me, I can look at my God and say the impossible. I am perfect. Not because I've done it, but because Jesus has, and given every ounce of it to me. Maybe you're thinking this is all Holy Spirit talk now. What does this have to do with Jesus and his baptism? We'll go back to those words that John the Baptist spoke. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, ultimately, those words that John speaks are really referring to Pentecost, when God will literally baptize his disciples with the Holy Spirit as those tongues of fire dance upon their heads. But it reminds us of the anointing that he gives to every single one of us. As he pours out his Holy Spirit on us in the waters of holy baptism, as he connects us to our Savior Jesus and everything that he has done, as he works that gift of faith that grabs hold of Christ and his saving work and absolutely refuses to let it go. Every ounce of it provided for us as a gift, as God does all the work in our baptisms. It's amazing, isn't it? And of course, that's transformational in our everyday lives. It's the Apostle Paul who tells the Romans, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And so he tells the Galatians, "You are now all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Our baptisms and Jesus' baptism, they are forever linked for us. Because I know I need to join in the confession of John and announce my sins that are often much more numerous than I care to admit. I get to hear the voice of the Father and rejoice in everything that it means for me. A Savior born, yes, as we celebrated at Christmas, who will live the perfect life and go to the cross for every one of my sins, so that heaven itself might be my own, so that I can sing the words of that hymn that we'll all join in just a moment. God's own child. I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. Amen. Please stand.